Hello, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm great. Oh, we're so excited to talk to you.
I know. We love the idea of this show, and we both love the Carpenters, so it all works out really well.
Perfect.
Where are you now? Are you back home in Connecticut?
No, actually, we are in Atlanta.
Oh, you're here.
We got here last night. Mark, my husband, our producer, and myself came in a little bit early to do some promotional work. So we're actually already here, and the band will come in on the weekend for the show on Saturday night.
Now, is this one of your first times in Atlanta?
It's actually our first time in Atlanta. Our first time, our debut with this show here, and our Live Nation debut, our Chastain Park debut. And the cool thing about playing this gig is that our band, since we started working with them 4 years ago, they're based in Nashville. They've been saying all along, we've got to play Chastain Park. We've got to play Chastain Park. So it's so cool that here we are playing Chastain Park.
This makes so much sense to me that somebody would eventually do this, but I would have never thought about it. What made you guys decide that you're going to have the Carpenters celebrated in this way?
It actually all started back in the 70s when I was growing up in the waving wheat fields of Saskatchewan, listening, of course, to the Carpenters and Linda Ronstadt and Carly Simon and all those wonderful singers. I actually ended up going on to study opera and musical theater and then worked in musical theater for the first 10 years of my career. What happens, of course, when you're a working actor is you're sort of waiting around for people to give you a job. And in the in-between times, you're working as a waiter and sort of trying to keep your chops up, taking classes and voice lessons. And I started putting together cabaret shows and working, you know, in little clubs with small trio or just a piano player. At that time, I was doing, in addition to doing show tunes, I started to explore, you know, some of the jazz standards, the American Songbook, and then I started pulling out pop tunes from my youth and giving them jazzy arrangements. And it was at that time that people started to tell me that I sounded like Karen Carpenter, which, of course, wow, what a great
compliment. Yes.
She's such an iconic voice and was such a big part of my youth and my musical love. So I started to add some of their songs to some of my shows and sets. And what always happened is inevitably somebody would come up after the show and they would have this wonderful emotional story of what Karen meant to them or what different songs meant to them. You know, we've only just begun with our wedding song, or so many people have said that their mom would rock them to sleep and sing Close to You. So this tweaked in my head. I thought, wow, you know, wouldn't it be cool to have a show that's all Carpenters music? Because I'm talking about one hit after the other, and really the soundtrack of our lives
in so many
ways. And so this little thought was in the back of my mind. And then when I met my now husband, Mark, I told him about the idea of putting together, you know, a show that would celebrate all those wonderful songs, you know, for a singer also, to sing melodies like this and to sing these beautiful lyrics. There's just so much rich material. And Mark just, you know, he just said, wow, what a great idea. Let's do it. And so we haven't looked back. It started really as just a little show in a tiny cabaret club in Toronto, just with myself and a piano, putting the songs up and seeing how people would react and what the response would be. And it was wonderful. We had so many people that night, almost everybody there. You know, at one point later in the evening, which came up and said, you know, that song made me cry, or I remember this. And Mark and I looked at each other and said, you know, I think we might have something here. So next thing you know, we had another group, four musicians and myself. And then Mark broke down and proposed to me on stage in Quebec City. And I moved to Connecticut, and we decided, okay, if we're going to do this, we're going to base it here. We live here. We're going to base it in the U.S. And what was our vision? We wanted to get the best musicians. We wanted to really recreate as much as possible that sound that Karen and Richard had. So we found a wonderful music director by the name of Harry Sharp, who music directed for Donna Summer, for Wynonna Judd. And with Harry, we handpicked this incredible band of players who really worked with the who's who in the business to do just that, recreate that sound. And there's nothing like hearing these beautiful songs played by live musicians. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got those horns on Superstar, that flute on We've Only Just Begun, that great sax solo in Rainy Days and Mondays. And it's just been tremendous. We traveled from one end of the country to the other, played Las Vegas on four engagements, sold out, and played the Carpenters' hometown last summer. And it's just been an incredible journey. And the Carpenters fans, they come out, and they are so wonderful. They've embraced us. They sing along to all the songs and share all these cool stories. It's been great.
I'm thinking that you must be about my age. And I can remember seeing her the first time live. I didn't even realize she had played the drums. I think we were all kind of shocked, right? And it must have been on a music award show. I don't think it was on a talk show. But it was amazing to watch them recreate it live. I don't imagine they did that very much. Did they tour a lot?
They did. Actually, that's the craziest thing of all is Karen and Richard were really known as a studio act, but there in some of those early years, especially in the early 70s, and particularly before Karen's illness, they toured upwards of 200 dates a year.
Can you imagine, those
first years, they were churning out an album every year, and those albums were perfection.
I know.
Billions of stacked vocals or orchestral elements to beat the band, and then they were touring, doing all of those promotional appearances that are involved with doing that. And Karen, at the beginning of their career, was playing those drums and singing behind the drum kit. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Did you have to go through the family at all with this?
No, we haven't. Certainly, when you record music, you have to pay for rights, and we have to, pay license different images that we use in our multimedia and things like that. And then, of course, when we play live venues, they have to pay fees to BMI and to ASCAP for the use of songs. Now, if we decided we wanted to do a musical, yes, definitely we would have to get Richard and the estate involved in that. But we would love to meet him. My goodness, it's definitely on my bucket list. Would love to have a chance to talk to him about these beautiful songs, about recording these albums, and, of course, about Karen. So cross your fingers for me.
You know what? They are crossed, because I bet you that will happen for you. If somebody does it this well and you've got Live Nation behind you, and now you're, I mean, when you do a show at Chastain, Chastain isn't even really middle ground. Chastain's already going up higher than that. So
we're so tremendously happy about it.
Are you guys really thinking about doing a musical?
A lot of people do actually speak to us after the show. Our show is done, it's not an impersonation. I'm not pretending to be Karen and our piano player isn't, wearing a blonde wig and being Richard. What it really is all about the sound. And our producer, Mark Brett, has worked with so many artists over the years behind the scenes in the business who knew Karen and Richard. We've got these wonderful stories that we weave in through the show that really sort of are like a behind the scenes sort of cool information. But what often happens after the show is our audience members come up to us and say, this is like a Broadway musical. Because the material is so rich emotionally, and because their story is so powerful and dramatic, I think it really does take people on a journey. You're definitely on a journey through the show, and it has those elements. I think it would be an incredible musical. I'm not sure that it would be me that would do it, but I think everything's there. The songbook, the story, all of those elements for a great theatrical experience are there.
Tell me how, when you mentioned the multimedia, and when I've read about the show, it does say you get all this backstory about the Carpenters. How do you do that? Is it going to be some video, or how are these stories told?
Mostly I tell them. I tell them, I spin them in between the songs. We have multimedia, and mostly it is, it's another element to add a dynamic to the show. But we don't actually have like tons of footage of them back in the day. That would be another show altogether. I mean, if you go to YouTube, it's absolutely incredible what is there in terms of their TV appearances, documentaries.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, these clips have millions of hits. They had such a following, and people still love this music so much.
Who doesn't love the Carpenters, especially if you're our age and you grew up with this music in your life?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what genre of music it is. It's just that it is the soundtrack of your life. And the fact that you're getting to bring these wonderful memories to people and make them feel young, is very precious.
And also, just the spectrum of our audience. Certainly we have that 45+, but also we've got kids in their 20s who show up to the show saying, Karen Carpenter is my favorite singer. How incredible is that? And then there's also that dynamic, you know, these big burly bikers with tattoos. It's incredible.
What about some of your other bandmates who, and I know it's not an impersonation, but I mean, who is playing, you know, Richard, if you will, you know, doing those parts and playing his melodies on stage?
We have a wonderful young player. His name's David Lukens. He's playing all of the Richard Carpenter parts. He's in his 20s. He's really at the very beginning of his career, just graduated from University of Miami, and he is crackerjack. He is really wonderful. Our music director, Harry Sharp, he does all the auxiliary keyboard stuff, you know, some of those different orchestral things and horns and those parts, and directing the band. And then we've got a wonderful drummer, George Pirelli. He's worked with Reba McEntire, Bobby Caldwell, Michael McDonald. He's amazing. And the Carpenters had Hal Blaine play on their recording, almost all of their recordings. Karen did play on a number of them, but he's got that finesse of the Hal Blaine drum kit. Mm-hmm. And then wonderful saxophone player that doubles on soprano, tenor, and flute by the name of Ryan Latham. A wonderful young female singer by the name of Michelle Brooke, who actually I bring down and do a medley with the song. Great bass player, and then Chris Croce, and just a really great band. Our guitar player is awesome. Matt Berry is his name. He's worked with John Michael Montgomery and Colin Ray Tiffany.
Wow.
And he just slays that Goodbye to Love solo. You remember that?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. People, I mean, I've actually had people come up to me and tell me they were crying during that solo because it was so note for note perfect. And there's nothing like hearing those live musicians on stage playing those songs that are so, you know, meaningful to you. Mm-hmm. There's something about that chemistry that's created between us on stage and the audience there. It's magical.
Is there a song that for you is either particularly meaningful or particularly challenging to sing?
Well, they're all quite challenging. Actually, this is the crazy thing about Karen Carpenter's singing. She always considered herself a drummer first, a drummer who sang.
Mm-hmm.
But that gal had this effortless sound. It was like she was just walking around the house, you know, or singing in the shower. No, nothing to it. The truth is, though, that particular register that she sang in is, you know, a lower register in the female voice. And she also had this incredible capacity for singing long, 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 long phrases.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, I would say the whole darn show is a challenge just in terms of really capturing her phrasing and that particular register. It's a part of the voice for a female in particular that you can't push.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like if you're singing, if you're belting a song out and wailing, you can really push it with guns blazing. But that area of the voice you have to be very, very delicate with. Songs like Ticket to Ride, it was actually their first single, the Beatles tune, mm-hmm. that they did this crazy great arrangement of. Richard really was a genius arranger. And that song is just murder to sing.
Wow.
We do this great Bacharach David medley, which is, you know, six great tunes that Burt Bacharach and Hal David wrote. And it just goes like a house on fire. Boom, 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 like one great song after the other. There will never be another Karen Carpenter, and there will never be anybody who can really replace her at all. But to me, it's about honoring her beautiful phrasing and the way she revealed those songs, because she did it in such a simple, masterful way that in many ways I think we've sort of lost that mm-hmm. whole thing of just singing the song and honoring the composer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to do the vocal acrobatics now instead of just singing.
Well, yes, her voice, there's that warmth and that velvetness and the comfort of it. And then Melissa and I were listening to some of you and we were like, oh my God, she's got that vibrato. You know, it's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That is the nicest compliment.
Tell me just a little bit more about your husband. Just was wondering what his background was.
Mark actually grew up in Connecticut in a family that owned a nightclub. So he was a little kid, you know, hanging around in the kitchen, sweeping up with the Cadillacs and Joey D and the Starlighters.
Oh, wow.
Had an early exposure to music, and then when he was in his early 20s, he went on the road with the legendary blues harmonica player by the name of James Cotton.
Oh, my gosh.
He was his road man. Now they're called technicians, as Mark says. But, back then, he was a roadie. And then from there, then he worked, you know, regionally with different bands. He was a concert photographer for many years, but he actually opened the Mohegan Sun.
I know. We know all,
yeah, we know all about the casinos.
Yes, we do.
No kidding. So he opened the Mohegan Sun in the entertainment department 20 years ago and
really?
Then basically has worked with everybody in the business. Everybody from, you know, Alice Cooper to Hart to Peter Noon of Herman's Hermit, you name
that
it,
is...
to LL Cool J.
That is fascinating to me. What
yeah.
a great pairing you guys are. I mean, really, you have the talent. Well, he has. Does he? Is he a musician at all?
Well, he did actually play a little keyboard, a little guitar, a little flute. But he, as he says, I'm much better behind the scenes.
But you know what? That's even understanding that is a big deal. You guys sound like a great pair.
And the thing about Mark is that he has an enthusiasm for this project. It's one thing to have musical talent, but I would be doing, you know, a concert to the Carpenters in my living room every day if it weren't for Mark getting on the phone and selling us to venues like Chastain Park and casinos in Las Vegas and all the way across the country. You've got to have somebody championing you like that.
You've done it the right way. I mean, when you're talking about these musicians and the musical director and everything mm-hmm. that you put into it, I'm very excited about seeing you. And I'm so glad we've had the opportunity to talk to you about this.
Thank you. Well, my gosh, my pleasure. And it's just so great to talk to gals who know this music and
oh,
who
yeah.
appreciate
we appreciate
the Carpenters like we do.